We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
I get that it is a burgeoning rivalry. I don't know that it feels that way this weekend. Rocky III was on last night. And you know at the end of the movie where Apollo and Rocky fight?
Ding,
you get the
ding.
Still frame, right?
Yeah. Just as that first punch
so
is
that,
about to
that's
land.
The whole thing. It's just they're talking to each other in this impossibly bad dialogue. They're going back and forth. And the whole thing is a dance recital. And then finally, they throw that one punch and it goes to a still screen. That's kind of... I feel like we're still in the dance recital part of the,
okay.
the Cubs-Brewers whole thing this year. I assume that there will be a fight, and I assume that Ivan Drago is coming in at some point. It doesn't feel like a heavyweight dance yet.
Maybe I'm projecting a little bit, but I want it to be. I like it. I like a little bit of edge in some of these weekend series.
Ding, ding.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. We are wide open to talk to you today and with you with all sorts of things happening. White Sox looking better. Cubs, the story. They're just refusing to lose series.
They 9-0-1 in their last 10 series.
An inexorable force and doing it once again against a real team on a big stage. It is a two-game central lead now for the first-place Cubs and all sorts of red-hot NBA action and all the concurrent drama that that involves. We also will do the Midday Midway, and we have a shot at $1,000 cash. You have to be listening for the keyword to text 312-644-6767. That's the number at WSCR. The Score. Email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. You want to text? You can. 67011 is where you send it. And when you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter at Bernstein_MCK. He is at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
The Cavs hiring John Beilein is actually a dastardly attempt by a Michigan State alum to sabotage the Michigan basketball program. Write it down.
That way you stream The Score on your mobile devices, interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. These cameras bring you the video feed that Brian Gertsch directs at watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live. Jay Zawoski is our producer, Rick Camp on the board. The executioner, Ray Diaz, is in the back doing what he does. You ruined the ESPN Sunday Night Baseball broadcast.
No, sir, I did not. Instead, what's actually ruined that ESPN Sunday Night broadcast are the words and arrangement of words that Alex Rodriguez mostly is using to present baseball to you. That's what's ruined.
He can't talk the way normal people talk.
I don't really understand. I think I came to find what he's trying to do. I really did. Because if you look through his entire broadcast last night, if you look through the Sunday night broadcasts as A-Rod presents baseball to you, he is pro-owner. He went on and on about Jeffrey Loria and his talking to him the last couple of days. He went on and on about the nice deal that Christian Yelich has that Loria gave him. He was on and on about the money they paid, the owners paid the three players. You know what he's doing? He's broadcasting like he knows he's not getting into the Hall of Fame without help from everybody else. That's what that broadcast feels like to me. While along the way, we're just doing some of the most base and common denominator stuff on the Brewers and on the Cubs, two teams that this viewership, that everybody who's watching, watched go down to the wire all last year, knowing we're getting platitudes about some great, great players.
It isn't just that. The entire production is overseasoned and overcooked. There's too much of everything. Not every mundane action on the field is a starting point for some kind of discussion about what's going through his mind, the way somebody steps on a base or the way somebody shakes. Some of this stuff is just baseball.
Yeah.
Let it breathe a little bit. And we've got a lot of the confluence of a lot of things here. One is that there is so much space and time in between pitches and the pace of play, not the length of game, but the pace of play, the lack of action allows for this vacuum. You've got different people doing different shows as this is going on, different people with stacks of prepared talk show topics to do during game action. Not everything can apply all the time. And they're talking around each other and not with each other. And Jessica Mendoza will start saying something, and then all of a sudden A-Rod will come in with some banal platitude half story involving something that he kind of reporting that something's saying, but sort of. Maybe not.
Yeah, down, play the game next time the Cubs are on a Sunday night broadcast, which is around the corner, by the way. Play the game. Write down how many times A-Rod apologizes to Jessica Mendoza for hopping in on any point whatsoever, or just something that she'd been talking about, and A-Rod just jumps in because he's Alex Rodriguez.
And then the crack of the bat is insanely loud.
That I don't mind.
That goes back to This Week in Baseball, and back from when I was a kid, when they would overdub the crack of the bat in the highlights is what that sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I love that,
and you
actually
get John Lester grunting. There was so much grunting. The problem with the bat crack is, if you're trying to, I don't know, make dinner or do something or do laundry or whatever it is, and it's on, you're like, oh, crap, that's hit hard.
Uh-huh.
You're like, oh, it's a foul ball over the dugout.
Yeah, that's
and it gives
fair.
You, those of us who are attuned to recognizing a certain sound that merits a certain level of attention, it's crying wolf. It's completely blown out of proportion. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the 17th-ranked Cats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. And we can talk about the broadcast because it's going to be a big part of Cubs baseball. But do you think that they got to work harder to get Wilson Contreras a breather here?
You know, it's an interesting point because Contreras talked about it himself prior to the game. You know, he catches all 15. And then part of, I think one of the things that broadcast actually does is kind of bring you the mic'd up stuff pretty well. They've got Christian Yelich, and they can't control the content because if nobody wants to talk, it's not going to be all that great. But Christian Yelich is stepping up to the plate, talking to Wilson Contreras as he's mic'd up. You're in here again today? My God, again? This is great. And sure, it's a little rote, but Contreras, remember, had that big, long interview. We talked to Kelly Krull after the interview came out. Contreras gave up on himself in the last half of last season. He did that. So I think you have to gauge whether he was gassed, whether he got overworked, whether he was just bad. Maybe it's a combination of all three things. But I think it's very easy to look at that guy who's been one of the best five hitters in baseball so far and say he's being overworked, he's catching too much, you've got too much of a workload on him. I think it's jumping maybe a little bit to a conclusion because you know Joe will work to get him a day here or there. He's got the off day today. He's got a day scheduled for him probably against Cincinnati. It probably won't be the same day that Javi Baez gets his day off. I understand that you have a huge lean on Wilson Contreras' bat right now. But as Chris Bryant heats up, that takes some of the burden off. I think you've got to trust that Wilson Contreras putting the work in on his own is something that kind of holds himself up rather than having to find a day from Joe.
He had a terrible weekend as a receiver. He was really bad.
That's another conversation.
I mean, Saturday was brutal. I know he hit the home run.
Yeah.
But he was boxing balls. He was struggling to keep it in front of him. It was really rough.
Does rest make him better at that?
I don't know. I don't know if it's practice. I don't know if it's rest. But
I think it might be a skill set that just hasn't arrived, and whether it will is a pretty damn good question.
Yeah, it was a tough watch. There are sometimes where balls are getting past him, over his glove, under his glove, that just shouldn't at that level.
Yeah, and his, you know, his ability to control the run game is important. You know, A-Rod made a big comment about that during the game last night. Actually, this is a pretty good text from 847. Why do you even listen to the TV? You're right. Turn the volume down. Listen to Pat and Ron instead. That's the better way to do your broadcast on Sunday nights.
That's great advice, but sometimes it's difficult to sync up timing-wise, depending on if you have DirecTV or what you have. And also, we're doing things. It's rare that I'm actually sitting, eyes on the screen the entire time. When there's so much else going on, you have it on, you're there, you're watching, you know a high-leverage situation is going to merit more attention. I think it gets down to what you said, too, that I'll have my eyes on the screen. I could let the broadcast breathe a little bit, get some of the people out of there and talk less and show me more. Give me the information visually and I can process a little bit better. Or I could have, and I've done this before.
Yeah.
I've got the At-Bat app on my phone where I'm getting the velocity of the pitch. I'm getting StatCast data and I'm getting it as I need it on a second screen, just looking at my phone while the game is on, and they're talking about, they're dragging out some mundane baseball activity into a dissertation that doesn't merit it.
And this is the show that loves dissertations.
I know, and I love data. I love baseball information, but I watch enough that I feel that they've found like a perfect storm of of what I don't want or need in a baseball broadcast, if that makes any sense.
Well, yeah, and A-Rod's the guy. I mean, this you said it. They're individually, they're interesting on their own right. I think Jesse Mendoza does a really good job on the broadcast. I think Matt Vasgersian is a fairly likable play-by-play guy.
Agreed.
Even if I'm oversaturated with him because he's been on every video game for the last 10 years. I think A-Rod, when he – that's the one-on-one that he sat down and did with Christian Yelich out on the fields in Florida, wherever the hell they were – that's really good. It was really good stuff. But that's a sit-down. It's edited. It's controlled. And it's just A-Rod allowed to be A-Rod with Christian Yelich.
That's a ball player talking to a ball player. It's not a broadcaster.
And it's really good.
Yeah.
It's really good. It points out a lot of stuff.
Mike is in Dixon. He's on the score. Hi, Mike.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Great.
Good. A-Rod, that's exactly what he's doing. He's campaigning to make the Hall of Fame. He's a terrible announcer. He knows he's not getting in. Anybody else that's been busted for PEDs has not made it. He's not going to make it either. I don't care how much he kisses their ass. He's a terrible announcer.
Mike.
Terrible.
Thanks, Mike.
Go Bears!
The leadoff man is on.
Yep. As we say, you go, we go.
Put him on today. That's a good call, Mike. I really do think that he is campaigning for something through his broadcast. I don't know whether it works for him or whether it doesn't. It has worked for broadcasters in the past. It's taken some time. I'm of the opinion that the steroid guys will get in the Hall of Fame at some point and that they should. But having to live with A-Rod doing it the way he's got to do it because the system's set up the way it is going to be kind of torturous for baseball fans the next couple of Sunday nights.
I want to hear from some people discussing what we're discussing regarding Wilson Contreras. I know Joe Maddon has talked about it, and everybody involved is trying to figure out this valuable a bat, a remarkably valuable bat. I mean, the guy is just raking right now. Got some defensive work to do, and in an effort to maximize what he's doing defensively, they're also going to have to figure out times to get him a break because catching is hard. Also, in just a moment, a special programming announcement that you won't want to miss. Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
A little bit tired, you know, I'm not going to lie, a little bit tired, but my mind was ready to keep going. I caught the game to 20 innings, but thanks God that I was able to hit a walk-off and get out of there.
Thanks to God he would be a screw. This segment brought to you by New Mail Medical Center. Discover the new you, newmailmedical.com. That's Wilson Contreras on his workload. And I don't know if fatigue has something to do with it, but just the catching, the glove to ball. It's squirting under his glove. It's going around his glove. It's just stay in front of it, son.
He is 18th in baseball in weighted runs created plus on Fangraphs. It's a 170. Cody Bellinger leads the world at 227. He is one of the best 20 hitters in baseball so far this season. The Cubs have needed his bat for quite some time, especially over the week where, Dan, if I told you, despite the fact that you played the Marlins and then the Brewers, your division rival, if I told you that they struggled with runners in scoring position, what do you think that would sound like? Cubs struggling with runners in scoring position over the week. Let's say if they had 48 at-bats with runners in scoring position from Monday to Sunday.
They came through on 8 of them.
6.
Okay.
6 of 48 with runners in scoring position. They also committed 5 errors. It was a relatively untidy week, though a successful one. And in my mind, I point to really good pitching. I mean, you had Brandon Kinsler just absolutely ace Jesus Aguilar last night. Yeah, John Lester just being, you know, doing that thing where he's just a guy. He's just fighting. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks, you and me included.
Nor maybe does it seem to matter.
Especially you and me.
It doesn't seem to matter what his peripheral numbers are either.
Doesn't give a damn.
Because he's just pitching.
Just pitches. It's It's impressive. Hendricks had a nice. So you have some good pitching. And despite all of that, you can look through the everyday catcher of the Chicago Cubs and really wonder about what defensively he's doing to help some of the staff. A couple of texters have pointed it out. This from the 847, I think. When he gets one that's either supposed to be inside, mostly just inside on the, what would that be, on the left-hander, and he's got to go all the way across the plate, glove side for him, and spins himself around, you know, where he carries himself out of his catcher's stance, that ball has no chance of being called a strike. Not if you're going to present it and do anything like that.
That's a very solid baseball observation from that particular texter. That's good.
That's what you see. And it's the kind of, at once, it's the athleticism he's got that makes him special behind the plate, but it's used in a way that doesn't help anybody. And I don't know whether his workload has to do with how good he is defensively. I don't know how much you can really, you know, teach and accentuate that skill set over a major league career. But if you're going to look at just the bat and the importance that it's played to the Cubs, it's been everything. It's been huge. He's been a massive part of the offense. He and Javi Baez have been the two consistent, most consistent bats, though Anthony Rizzo's last 2 weeks have been nice, as of Chris Bryant's. All season long, it's been those two guys that have gotten it done for you.
It's almost like I don't want to talk about Tyler Chatwood either, because I don't want to ruin anything. I don't want to talk it out of existence, but man, that stuff plays.
It does.
All of it.
95, 96, 97, up in the zone.
But the swings. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were some no-chance swings on that stuff. And even when the count was evening or he was falling behind, like, well, here it is. And then getting a foul ball and coming back with a strike in the middle of the zone, it's pretty damn good. And it was unbelievably important for him to have turned that performance in when he did, because of what it allowed you to do or not to do regarding your bullpen for last night.
Yeah, I think, you know, I point out the offensive stats, the runners in scoring position stuff, because Wilson Contreras had made such a big impact with the homer in the 15th to win that game for the Cubs. I don't know, you know, workload has been something that Joe Maddon got killed on last season, because up until, you know, kind of the come to Jesus meeting, the need for urgency that Theo Epstein had, the 71-minute press conference at the end, and then from then until that interview that Kelly Krall did with Wilson Contreras where he put it out there that he did not do his own work in the second half of last season, it was just kind of wonder that, you know, maybe Joe kind of waxed this guy with workload. Maybe it was that kind of, you know, strain that affected his season. Wilson talked a little bit after the game or before the game yesterday about what workload means to him and how he's kind of looking at what he needs to do this season.
I feel good. I feel proud to be able to go out there every single day. That means I'm healthy. I'm doing the right things to help the team to win, and that's what I'm here for.
See, when he says I'm healthy, I take it to mean that he's actually doing the work. You know, you have to do a certain amount of maintenance on that body playing that position all season long. And even if you do the maintenance, the required kind of work, there's a bouncing slider that's going to knock you like it did James McCann over the weekend coming for you, and nobody's going to stop you.
We're going to get to that. Because there was something attended with that James McCann call that we have to bring back for you. I mentioned a programming announcement, too.
Yeah.
And it is this. Mm. I love the Midday Midway, and you love the Midday Midway.
I do.
And you, the Bernstein and McKnight listener, have shown that you love the Midday Midway. However, we're going to move it. It had been at 11, and then we were trying to get it as close as possible to the midway point of the show when the hours have changed. And we, as a team, have come to the decision that the best place for it is going to be at 10:40.
10:40 for Midday Midway.
We often have a 10 o'clock guest or a big 10 o'clock topic, and then we immediately have to shift gears with that record scratch sound effect rather than letting it breathe and having a little bit of reaction and then getting into that. And, you know, a bunch of texts will pop up and phone calls will come in. So I think that everything will flow well if we shift the Midday Midway to 10:40. So that's been our decision. We are announcing that right now, as of now.
So say we all.
It has been decreed by royal fiat and papal bull that the Midday Midway henceforth shall occur at 10:40 Monday through Friday, unless there are circumstances beyond our control.
And then we'll change
cool.
it.
Yep.
Cool.
So, a little inside radio for you.
Right. So there you have it. I mentioned a programming announcement. You have the programming announcement, and there you go.
There you go.
Blammers.
Blammers it is. Fantastic. So workload is not the only, or Contreras rather, is not the only guy that workload is going to be a factor for. You hear Joe Maddon after the game talk about how he's going to have to get Javi Baez a day at some point. Javi's the only regular who's played every single game so far. They've had a rainout or two. They've had an off day like today's. They're going to go get Cincinnati, who's playing better baseball than the record might bear out for you, but haven't got the wins to show for it. Baez and an extension is a constant source of conversation this offseason and up until now. Pat Mooney wrote a piece in The Athletic for this morning where he just kind of pointed out that Baez betting on himself, whether there was or wasn't real substantive talks about an extension, has paid off for him so far, which I found pretty interesting and kind of, you know, one of those little, you know, sports writer, beat guy writes things that maybe, you know, informs a little bit, but doesn't necessarily put any business out on the table that does or doesn't need to be there. I don't know. I think all offseason, when we waited for the Cubs to do something, really anything, kind of set their finances in order, and Theo and Jed kept telling you that the money's been spent, that there are no big expenditures. You know, the Ricketts told you the same thing. Our money's gone. We spent it all. It's all it's up. It's gone. You get Kyle Hendricks to a fairly reasonable deal.
And David Bote got a ridiculous
deal. You get David Bote to a fantastic contract. You spend a little bit on bullpen pieces here or there, but you know, kind of know in the back of your mind that superstar money is got to be reserved for a couple years from now. And I don't know, the way Javi Baez is playing, by the way, I mentioned the weighted runs created plus for Wilson Contreras at 18th in baseball. Any guesses where Javi Baez is on that list league-wide? Top 10, it's 7.
Yeah, it's going to be a big number.
I mean, he's that kind of guy. He's that kind of offense. Plus the defensive presence he gives you. I mean, he's doing everything. And he's doing it his way, which I don't think a lot of people... That's what's remarkable to me about Baez, is that he continues to be him. He continues to swing at everything. And he just keeps putting up big numbers.
The Cubs are 9-0-1 in their last 10 series, continuing their snapback after last night's 4-1 win. They have a 2-game lead in the NL Central. The White Sox won also 5-1. Lucas Giolito, a notable bright point that is going to deserve some examination later. But some of the most fun I had over the weekend was actually sitting in front of the TV and just letting the NBA basketball wash over me and listening to some of the breakdowns from veteran broadcasters. I thought both broadcasts were really good. I mean, they can get that right. You know, it's the baseball stuff. A lot of people agreeing with us, by the way. And if you wanted to jump in, there was a ton of text response regarding what is going on with that ESPN Sunday Night Baseball broadcast that is a hot mess. It's just it's all a bunch of different pieces and different flavors that aren't coming together in a satisfactory way, at least for me. And I wish they could rein it in when it starts to go off into places it doesn't need to go for reasons it doesn't need to go there. Too loud, too bright, too much, too of everything.
Yeah, I mentioned last week after the Sunday Night broadcast that, you know, you hope for a close game throughout. Because otherwise, that broadcast, when it gets away from one team or the other, they just stray. I mean, they can't handle a 4-run baseball game because they don't really know how to make it important. Bryant hits the 2-run shot last night, and there it is. It's a 3-run game, and all of a sudden they're gone and off the rails. Their rails, which are pretty wide. Anyway.
Those are different rails.
My God,
for only the second time in NBA history, a deciding game, be it a game 7 or a game 5, has come down to a buzzer beating shot. And I want to take you around the world when we come back. We have seen it in slow motion. We have watched the Kawhi Leonard shot bouncing 4 times on the rim any number of times. But this is going to come to you in international flavor in a way you have yet to hear it, and you will want to. That is coming up next. Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.